You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up later, we'll talk to a guest who says America's police culture has a masculinity problem, which is adding to tensions between police officers and the communities that they serve.
Right now, big news broke this morning in the field of paleoanthropology. New research shows how Lucy, one of our distant ancestors, or a cousin of our ancestors maybe, died over 3 million years ago. Lucy's remains were found in Ethiopia in 1974, at the time the oldest hominin fossil ever found.
Gemma Tarlak joins us now to talk about this and other paleopathology news. She's a senior editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha, and she joins us about once a month to talk about cool science news. And Gemma, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
So big news, anything to do with Lucy? Everyone's fascinated with this oldest human ancestor, and now we might have new clues about how she died. What do we know?
Yeah, and you know, I have to say, I read a lot of these journal articles, and always the fossil is referred to, you know, as HD21-4 or whatever. And this paper, it was so strange to be reading it. It came out in Nature this morning, and it was so strange because it was in some ways... It was so personal because throughout the paper, the researchers refer to her as Lucy. So they talk about, you know, Lucy had more than 20 fractures, unfortunately, suffered right before her death. And, you know, the only way Lucy, they keep calling her Lucy, and it personalized in a way that I'm really not used to seeing in the literature. But here's what we know. They were able to determine, using high-res CT scans of all the fossils that we have of Lucy, that she suffered really a catastrophic fall that resulted in a number of fractures, including tellingly compressive fractures, and those really only happen under certain circumstances. So because of the presence of those fractures and where they were found, they think they know she fell feet first from a tree, they think from a height of about 40 feet. She landed kind of on her heels, and like any of us do when we fall, she stuck her arms out to brace her fall, so she suffered additional fractures in the shoulder there, and you know, she landed, and by the time she was on the ground, she had just a cascade of catastrophic injuries, and they think she died very shortly after.
Well, that raises a lot of questions, and one that pops to mind is, why do they think tree in particular as opposed to, I don't know, cliff or something like that?
I asked this very question when I was talking to some folks familiar with the research, and basically, the area where Lucy was found, it's called the Afar region of Ethiopia, and in addition to Lucy, we found a number of other hominin fossils there. Lucy is by far the most famous and the most complete, and, you know, 3.18 million years old, so she's no spring chicken, but they know so much about that area. It's been so well covered by paleoanthropological digs. They've been able to pretty much recreate the environment she lived in, and it was woodland. It was kind of like lakeshore, so there was nothing to be a cliff nearby. You know, it was pretty flat land.
So apparently this is stirring up a bit of debate about Lucy and whether she and others, I guess, like her at the time, walked on 2 feet or whether they lived in trees.
Yeah, well, the debate is actually, do they spend most of their time in trees, or were they really terrestrial, fully upright, walking, bipedal individuals? And, you know, the reason Lucy, in particular, it presents, and all members of her species presents such a question mark, is because they have what researchers call a mosaic of traits, in that she and other members of her species have some features that you see in tree-climbing individuals, such as, you know, really long fingers that can grab a branch really securely. There's certain musculature in the shoulders. But at the same time, other features like her pelvis and the shape of her leg bones, that suggests she was walking bipedal. So, you know, some researchers say, hey, she spent some time in the trees, some time on the ground, let's just get over it. But for decades, ever since she's been found, there are folks who think, no, she was only upright walking on the ground, and other folks who say, no, she was arboreal living in the trees. So, to me, this finding kind of suggests that the folks who see her as a little bit of both are right. Because, you know, if you're a super-duper tree climber, if you live your whole life in the trees, there's less chance of you falling out. But, you know, think of us. We're fully upright. We're fully bipedal. We still climb trees now and then, you know, to pick fruit or to just have fun, whatever. And we still fall out of those trees sometimes, too.
And remind us, Gemma, of Lucy's place in our complicated and ever more complicated family tree.
How much time?
Sorry, and not a tree we would fall out of, hopefully.
Right. Well, I was going to say, how much time do you have? Because that is another point of contention. For a long time, we thought, oh, Lucy is definitely our direct ancestor. She's our great, 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 great to the nth times grandmother. But no, because, you know, there's so many fossils being found that have been found since her, especially in South Africa. So now there's two different camps that say East Africa, where Lucy was found, that's definitely where we originated. Another camp says, hey, wait a minute, we've got great fossils from that same time or earlier of other species. Maybe South Africa is our homeland.
We're talking with Gemma Tarlak right now, senior editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha, and she's joining us now to talk about new research published just today showing how Lucy, that famous distant ancestor, died. And we're going to talk about some dinosaur stuff too now, Gemma. And in particular, dinosaurs apparently get tumors. This is big news in the dino world. What do we know about these tumors?
Yeah, you know, and this is fascinating because it's just really in the last month or so that we have two big studies coming out using basically XMT, that's X-ray microtomography. If you want to think about it in the simplest of terms, it's kind of like CT scanning on a super, super fine scale. And by employing this recent technology, they are able to look at fossils and really see what is going on a cellular level. And for example, about a month and a half ago, they found a duck-billed dinosaur with osteosarcoma in its jaw. First time they've ever found that in a dinosaur. It's a benign tumor, so, you know, we don't think it died from that or anything. It may have impeded chewing, but it's basically, it's called an ameloblastic tumor, and, you know, it just forms, and it's found in mammals today. So it's what we thought of as a modern type of tumor, but it was found in dinosaurs, you know, 70 million years ago. And then there was another study out that, not about a tumor, but about septic arthritis, and that is a really super nasty infection of the joint, and it eventually erodes away the bones. It is horrible. And today, birds and reptiles and humans can get septic arthritis, but they found it in another duck-billed dinosaur that's, again, you know, more than 70 million years old. So all this XMT technology, the X-ray microtomography, is really allowing researchers to look at bones in a way they could never look at before. And the best thing is, it's non-invasive. So if you don't destroy the fossil by slicing it up to look at it. It's all digital, so you can go back again and again to that sample.
So we're starting to get a picture of not just what dinosaurs looked like and ate and things like that. At least in some cases, we're able to find evidence of what kind of diseases they were plagued by.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen in the past, there's a very famous dinosaur in Wyoming. It's an allosaur on display, and that poor dinosaur, man, he went to the grave in a lot of pain because he had all kinds of bone breaks and fractures that they think were caused either fighting another dinosaur or maybe, you know, a hunting expedition that didn't go so well. So he has all these kind of acute injuries, but now we're able to see on this much finer microtomography scale actual bone growths and malformations that you see with things like cancer and septic arthritis and other diseases that before we really couldn't see with the naked eye.
So what other kinds of things might we be able to find out now that we're learning about these various dinosaur ailments and pathologies? What's next?
Well, you know, last year, a very similar technology was employed to actually look into the fossil and find remnants of dinosaur blood cells and other kind of soft tissue remnants that we would never expect to find in fossils. And the interesting thing about that last year was that they were not using great fossils. They were using kind of the crummy fossils that paleontologists keep in the drawer because they're too crummy to display. So really, now we can just go through the fossil catalog, all those bones and bits of bones that have been sitting in drawers in museums and academies all over the world. We can go through them with this new technology and find all kinds of stuff that we never even thought to look for.
Gemma, all this technology, whether we're talking about figuring out what kind of cancer dinosaurs had or how Lucy died, is there overlap here? Are these things coming out of the world of medical research and, I don't know, crime and forensics?
Well, I don't know about crime and forensics, but I know, for example, with the Lucy story, after they identified all these very specific fractures, they did compare her fractures and her scans with those from actual clinical patients who were presenting with, you know, a compressive fracture or whatever. And the paleoanthropologists at the University of Texas, Austin, worked with clinicians, doctors who were in the ER practice and orthopeds and everything, orthopods rather. They looked at those injuries that you see in today's ERs, and that's how they built their case for what happened to Lucy.
And Gemma, let's wrap up by going back to Lucy, because this was big news in a lot of ways. Now that we figured out how she died and there is still this debate about how tree-dwelling Lucy was, what are the other big questions about Lucy that might break, that have the possibility to break in the coming years?
Wow, that is, you know, we found about 40% of her skeleton. So we've got a lot of it, more than other hominins, but still, you know, there are a lot of questions. And I think the big break is really going to be not with Lucy, but what else we find from that era of our family tree. And I think, I hope, you know, one day we're going to find the fossil that tells us definitively whether we should call Lucy Granny or Auntie.
Well, Gemma, we've argued about this before, but I'm still saying time machine. We need a time machine and we go back and look. You like the mystery more.
I do, because, you know, if you think about what we knew about, say, dinosaurs or Lucy 10, 20 years ago, and think, just, it's thrilling how much we've learned since then, and a time machine would just be cheating. Come on.
All right.
Spoken like a scientist at heart.
Well, Gemma, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date on this new science news.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That's Gemma Tarlak, senior editor at Discover Magazine, based in Waukesha. She joins us to talk about new research published today showing how Lucy, our famous distant ancestor, or, you know, close cousin back in there somewhere, how she passed away.
Coming up after the news, does America's police culture have a problem with masculinity? A law and policing expert weighs in on that question. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.